Well, you find in your Bibles tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and while you're finding your place, will you stand together with me? 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 14 is where we're going to find our beginning text tonight. And what a great song. The doxology, the praise, the blessing to God. And that's why we're here, is because of him, and I pray that he's been glorified and your hearts have been stirred up. I want to start tonight by saying thank you to Brother Ryan for the great message he brought last Wednesday while we were gone to teen camp. I'm thankful for the online stuff. I could go on to the website and listen to it later, and it was a blessing. He did a fantastic job, and I say again, I'm grateful that we have so many men in our church that can stand and bring a message from God's word anytime they're called on, and it's just a tremendous blessing we have in this church. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, we just prayed, so we'll read now. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Please be seated. We have been learning about making disciples on Wednesday nights for several weeks here this summer and trying to dig into this reality. God has called us to make disciples. But in order to make disciples, I must first be a disciple. So we have to be disciples if we're going to make disciples. And we've been trying to learn about the fact that God has called us to exercise or train ourselves unto godliness, and how the parallels are given to us, especially in the New Testament, this idea of spiritual exercising being a lot like physical exercise. And it requires discipline to be spiritually fit. It requires discipline to be physically fit. And a lot of the lessons we learn from physical fitness, how you have to eat right, you have to exercise, you have to be consistent, and all of those things, they flow right into the truths that we learn about spiritual fitness. You have to be faithful. You have to be diligent. You have to be consistent. You have to have a good diet. Amen. Right? Good diet. So we have to exercise ourselves to godliness. And so we've been learning about some spiritual disciplines. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke to you about prayer and how prayer is our first spiritual discipline we want to learn about. And we talked about that. We studied about that. Then last week, Brother Ryan brought the lesson on fasting, because in your Bible, prayer and fasting are often put together. And fasting is not anything, listen, we don't even want to talk about it, much less do it. Amen? Amen. But I find in my Bible that it's something that the Lord expected us to do. Brother Ryan brought that out. When Jesus taught at the Sermon on the Mount, he said things like, when ye pray. Well, it seems to reason that he expected his disciples to pray. Amen. He says things like, when ye do your alms. In other words, when you give to those in need. It seems like he just expected us to do that, when you do this. And then he said, when ye fast. So it seems like it's something he expected us to do. And then we know, and we've looked at this verse so many times over the past several years, John 8:31, Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And so we want to learn how to be real disciples, genuine disciples, walking with Jesus, following him, so that we can be obedient in his call to make disciples. And so we learn about these spiritual disciplines that will help that. So tonight, we're going to learn about the importance of and some practicalities for engaging the Bible. Let me give you a definition of what I'm talking about. Bible engagement, also known as scripture engagement, is the process of reading and listening to the Bible with the intention of getting to know God better and experiencing him more. It involves reflecting on the Bible's words and applying them to one's life, which can lead to a transformative encounter with God. A great definition. It is a great definition. I'm going to tell you, you're never going to believe where it came from. You used to find definitions in Webster's. You know where this one came from? Can you guess, Brother Ben? I did Google Bible engagement, but I wasn't expecting to find such an excellent definition. Have you guys Googled anything lately? Yeah, that's AI's definition of Bible engagement. Isn't that ridiculous? But you know, all the crazy, stupid things going on with AI today, I think it got this one right. What a great definition. Bible engagement, also known as scripture engagement, is the process of reading and listening to the Bible with the intention of getting to know God better and experiencing Him more. That's what we're talking about. I'm not talking about reading your Bible so you can check it off of your list. I am not talking about reading your Bible so you can sound smarter. I'm not talking about reading your Bible so you can learn history. I'm talking about reading your Bible, engaging with the Scriptures, the Holy Word of God, so that you can know the God of the Word. Amen. That's what we're talking about. Amen. So it is a great definition, and I couldn't believe it popped up, and I was like, well, I'm going to use it, even if it did come from AI. It does this, too. It involves reflecting on the Bible's words and applying them to one's life. You see, reading our Bible isn't just to hear what it says. Jesus wants us to do what His Word says. In that part of the commission we've been talking about, go make disciples of all nations, and we baptize those who believe, and we teach them to observe all that Christ commanded. Now, observe doesn't mean look at in this context. Observe means to keep or to do. So we want to do what Jesus teaches us to do. So we want to apply God's Word, and this is no doubt. It can lead to a transformative encounter with God. Okay, now some of you have been saved long enough, and some of you have been reading your Bibles and having your whatever you want to call it, your quiet time, your personal devotions. I know throughout, you know, the American church history, we've had different little labels we like to put on what we're talking about. What we're talking about is you individually, personally, on your own, spending time alone with God in prayer and reading the Bible. And a lot of you have done that enough to know that you have experienced transformative encounters with God when you spend time alone in the Word of God. Amen? And if you've ever experienced that, and if we're all honest tonight in our walk with Jesus and our personal devotions, if we're real honest, I would say all of us have been hot and cold. Amen. We've been up and down. Amen. We've been really good and faithful, and we've been far away. We've done the right things, but we only honored Him with our lips, and our hearts were far from Him. Amen. So listen, I'm not trying to stand up here and pretend like I've got this down and perfect, and I've always done it perfectly. What I am trying to tell you is it's a crying shame that having experienced transformative encounters with God in my personal time alone with God, how would I ever not seek that every single day? How would I not long for that? And how would I not plead with God to give me that every single day? And so I pray God will convict our hearts today. Now, we can look at some practicalities, but we'll get to that. But this is probably the most vital part. It's hard to say what's more important, prayer or Bible reading. What's more important, talking to God or God talking to you? And I'm just going to say, I don't know that you can really experience one without the other biblically. But I will say this, you and I need to hear from God. Amen. You and I need to hear from God, personally. There was a study done years ago, and more studies are done every year about Bible engagement. There are ministries dedicated just to this. They like to put out surveys every year about basically the state of the Bible in America. And the study a few years ago indicated when people engaged in the Scriptures one time a week, which could include a pastor instructing the congregation to open your Bibles, like they would count that, there was negligible effect on some key areas of their life. The same result was true of people engaged in the Scripture two times a week. The result equaled little to no effect. Three times a week saw just a small indication of life. There was a slight pulse, a faint heartbeat. Something moved in the behavior of the person engaging in Scripture. The eye-opener happened, though, when Bible engagement reached at least four times a week. And I want you to get this. So they're surveying Christians in America. How many times do you open your Bible? And that's even if all you do is show up on a Sunday morning and literally open your Bible. That counts. And they surveyed people who did that, open their Bibles once a week, twice a week, three times a week, four times a week or more, and everything changed when somebody opened their Bible at least 4 days out of the week. Feeling lonely in those surveyed dropped 30%. Anger issues dropped 32%. Bitterness in relationships dropped 40%. Alcoholism dropped 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant dropped 60%. Viewing pornography dropped 61%. So listen, here's what happens. You read your Bible, open your Bible 1, 2, 3 days a week. Basically nothing changes in a Christian's life in America. This is a survey. This isn't Bible, but just hear it. You open your Bible at least 4 days a week, it is going to dramatically change your life. It's the number one indicator for the spiritual health of a Christian is Bible engagement. It's number one. Sharing your faith. People who open their Bible at least four times a week are 200% more likely to share their faith than a Christian who doesn't open their Bible 4 days a week. Discipling others, which is what we're talking about, increases 230% in people who open their Bible 4 days a week or more. Now, we're talking about making disciples. That's what this whole series of lessons has been about this summer. And if God has called us to make disciples, and he has, and if I can't make disciples unless I am a disciple, and I can't, and if I know that opening my Bible at least 4 days a week is going to transform my walk with Jesus, then I must open my Bible. Amen. And can I just say this? Because I know how some of you are. You're like, yeah, I could probably do 4 days, but I'm not doing five. Can I just say, why would we not open the Word of God every single day? Amen. Why wouldn't we? Okay. The greatest, of course, we're talking about transformation. Of course, the greatest transformation that comes from Scripture is salvation. We just read it, right? Verse 14 again, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Where am I going to learn about salvation? Where am I going to learn about my sin and how I need a Savior? Where am I going to learn about God's plan of redemption for mankind? Where am I going to learn about the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God who came and lived sinlessly and died sacrificially for all of us? How am I going to know that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved except from the Scriptures? Amen. And so Timothy, get this, knew the Scriptures from a child. Hey, kids, listen, you're not too young to learn the Bible. Amen. If you're old enough to read, you're old enough to read your Bible. Amen. And if you're not old enough to read yet, you're old enough to listen to the Bible. It's so available for all of us. And so we are all without excuse, no matter how young, no matter how old. If you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth, we can be in the Word of God. And the first thing we're going to learn is that God is going to make us wise unto salvation through the Scriptures. That's how we know that salvation is through faith that is in Christ Jesus. And notice this, verse 14, not only learn how to be saved, but he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, there's no doubt some commentator somewhere that says that Paul's talking about himself, because you've learned them from me. But I am fully persuaded that Paul was not talking about himself. Hey, Timothy, remember the things you learned, because you learned them from me, buddy. I don't think so. No, continue in the things that you've learned. Continue in the things that you've been most assured of, because you learned them from God. God is the one who teaches us. God is the one who shows us. And listen, I'm standing up here pastoring and trying to teach, and hopefully you learn something when any of us stand up here and open the Word of God. But the truth is, none of us can really teach you anything. The Spirit of God that's in you, he's the one that guides you into all truth. He's the one who teaches you the truth of God. He's the one who takes the truth from God the Father, and he puts it right inside your heart. Amen. And you know him, and you learn these great truths. So it starts with salvation, but it doesn't stop there. Can I just remind you guys one more time? No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to remind you 1,000 more times. Salvation is not the finish line. Salvation is the starting point. We have not arrived when we get saved and baptized and sit in our pew and give our tithes. We have not arrived at that point. We are just beginning when we're born again. And we're to run this race until we see His face. Amen. So we get the beginning and He transforms us, but we want to continue in those things. Now, we use the word continue as continuing to move forward, taking the next step, and there's certainly something to that. But really, the word continue in your Bible means to dwell. It means to abide. It means to stay. It's where you live. We need to live in the things God has taught us. Jesus said, abide in me. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me. We want to abide in him. We want to dwell in him. When he said, continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. He means stay in my word, dwell in my word, live in my word. And so we want to continue in the truth of God's word. It starts with salvation and continues on. And we won't know about salvation apart from the word of God. Let me draw your attention real quick to John 5:36. John 5:36. The Lord says, I have greater witness than that of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Jesus was sent down from the Father, and those Jews who knew the scriptures, they didn't know Jesus. Those Jews who didn't believe on Jesus, they couldn't believe on Jesus because they didn't really believe the Father. They had religion, they had the externals, but they didn't have the heart. And Jesus says, listen, you think you have eternal life. You think you've got it because you have the law and because you keep the law. And I'm here to tell you that you need to search the scriptures because they're going to tell you about me. Amen. And they're going to teach you to have faith in me. So we look to the scriptures so we can know him and have eternal life. And here it is, friends. If you're here in this room or you're watching online and you've never been born again, the scriptures are clear. The only way of salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no other way. After we're saved, we must learn to study the scriptures for ourselves. I need you to let that sink in tonight. You must learn to study the scriptures for yourself. Now, I don't know if nobody taught it or I just wasn't paying attention. To be fair, there was a lot I didn't pay attention to when I was growing up in church. Just like there's kids and adults in the room right now not really paying attention to what's being said in church. So I'll give the benefit of the doubt. But if anybody was teaching it, I wasn't getting it. Because what I remember hearing all the time is if you want to be a good Christian, then you need to go to church, you need to be in Sunday school, you need to do these things. You need to come and listen to the preaching. Now just pause for a second. If you're a Christian, should you go to church? If your church has Sunday school, should you be there? Amen. Come on, should you be there? Amen. That's right, should be there. If your church has Sunday night worship or 1 o'clock in the afternoon worship, whatever it is, I'm not saying you don't need preaching and teaching. I'm not saying that. So don't hear what I'm not saying. Okay? But I am saying that the emphasis was on go to church so much that I never heard study the Bible for yourself. And you and I need to learn to study the Bible for ourselves. Amen. We must. Amen. So I'm not saying do this instead of hearing preaching. I'm not saying do this instead of going to a Bible study. I am saying you need to personally go to God for your daily bread. D.L. Moody said, well, what we need as Christians is to be able to feed ourselves. How many there are who sit helpless and listless with open mouths, hungry for spiritual things, and the minister has to try to feed them, while the Bible is a feast prepared into which they never venture. You can't wait around for the preacher to get up and feed you. At some point, you have to learn to feed yourself. Well, that's spiritual maturity, isn't it? When you're a very small child, you need mommy to feed you. When you're a very small child, you need daddy to get the spoon and put it in the little thing and give you the nasty vegetables. Amen? And if you're like Abigail was, the only one she liked was orange, and so she turned into orange. She ate, what were those things? Sweet potatoes and carrots. Anybody else know? I didn't know you could turn your kid colors by feeding them things, but you can. But at some point, our children had to learn to take the spoon for themselves. And oh, glorious day when you didn't have to sit there and shovel it in for them. Right? No? Okay. Just kidding. We're all sad and we miss those days. Nah, not so much. Spiritually, it's the same. When you're first born again and you really don't know anything at all, yeah, you need somebody to help you. You need a teacher, and that's good. And that's disciple making. That's helping somebody come along. But part of that process is teaching them to feed themselves. Engaging with the Bible is more than just an act of reading the scriptures. Bible engagement is reading with an open heart, ready to hear from God. It's digging deeper through study. It could be extremely beneficial to journal when you study in the Bible, to write down the things God's speaking to your heart. God's word teaches us to hide his word in our hearts so that we don't sin against God. He teaches us in the word to meditate on his word as we go through our day. So it's not just that we read it in the morning and check it off our list and go on, but we keep thinking on it throughout our day. 1 Timothy 4:13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Paul instructed the young pastor Timothy to give himself to reading, to hold on to the things that God had given him and give himself to the things that God taught him and meditate on those things. And isn't God's word worth digging into? Amen. We've been in Romans for a while now on Sundays, and maybe eventually we'll get to Romans 11. But we've been studying Romans 9 through 11 as a section, and we're still in chapter 9, but listen to the end of it. Romans 11, verse 33. Listen to this. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. This is the God that we're going to learn about. This is the God we're going to get to know when we study his scriptures. Amen. Moody also said, many people have the Bible in their heads or in their pockets, but we need to get it down into our hearts. Amen. I thought that was weird because I got Bibles in my pocket. But I wonder how many people carried the Bible around in their pocket back then. But Moody said they had the same problem back then. People know the Bible. They got it in their pocket. They got it on the table at home. They've got it in their head. But where we need it is in our hearts. Amen. Spending time in the Word of God is spending time with the God of the Word. F.B. Myers, I don't know who said this. Those who read fast reap no more advantage than a bee would by only skimming over the surface of the flower, instead of waiting to penetrate into it and extract its sweets. Much reading is rather for scholastic subjects than divine truths. When you just skim over the Bible, it's like a bee flying over the flowers. It doesn't do anything. But the bee has to land on the flower. And it has to crawl deep into the flower. And it has to work and spend time there to extract. And that's what we have to do with our Bibles. The purpose of Bible engagement is to know God. Psalm 27:7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." David had a heart to know God. And when God said, "Seek my face," he said, "I will." Some of you are familiar with an author, Jen Wilkin. She said this: "We must make a study of our God, what he loves, what he hates, how he speaks and acts. We cannot imitate a God whose features and habits we have never learned. We must make a study of him if we want to become like him. We must seek his face." Amen. Friends, that's what discipleship is. I told you before that when somebody began to follow a rabbi, they studied them. That's what they did. The student of the rabbi, the follower of the rabbi, the Talmid, he would watch how his rabbi walked and he would try to imitate his walk. He watched how he ate his food and chewed his food and they would try to eat like he ate. Can you imagine how annoying that would be? But that's what they did. They took it to the nth degree. I want to be like my rabbi in every possible way. Amen. To walk like him and to eat like him. And to talk like him and to teach like him, they try to imitate him in every way. And friends, that's exactly what God has called us to do. Amen. Imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. Be like him. Seek his face. Now, I know most of you are familiar with Psalm 119, but let's take just a second section. Psalm 119, verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. You guys know Psalm 119 is all about God's word. It's divided into parts by the Hebrew alphabet. That's why it says Beth there, but it's not really Beth, it's Beit. So that's the Hebrew letter, Beit. It's similar to our B, okay? And so it's divided in these sections by the alphabet, and that was to help God's people memorize God's word, okay? Here's what he says: "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Amen. You see, God has given us a pattern from the old to the new that we would hear the word of God and that we would hide it in our heart, that we would meditate on it as we go through our day, that we would take God's word with us everywhere we go. You see, we have advantages in 2024 like no other generation of Christians has before us. When this psalm was written, there weren't copies of it available for everybody. Most of the Jewish people, a lot of them had not the ability to read it anyway. Even if they had a copy, they wouldn't know how to read it. But what they could do is they could go and they could hear it and they could recite it and they would memorize it and they would literally take it with them everywhere they went. Here's the hard truth. You take away my Bible with my favorite book of concordance. That was a joke. Concordance isn't really a book of the Bible. Ha ha, ha ha ha. Nobody laughed and the baby cried. That's how my jokes go. You take away my Bible and my concordance, I'd have a real hard time finding a lot of things in my Bible. Oh, but it's way worse now. These Bible apps I have, I mean, you can just say a word, and I can type in the word, and it'll pull up every verse that has that word in it. Isn't that handy? These smartphones are making me dumb. But what I need to do is commit myself to putting God's word in my heart. Amen. So that when I lose my Bible, or when my phone breaks, or when some tragedy happens and I don't have a copy with me, that the word is still with me. I want to be like Richard Wurmbrand from Romania. When the Soviet Union came in and arrested Christians who wouldn't preach their form of the Bible. Overall, he spent 14 years in the Bible. They didn't have any Bibles in there. They couldn't have the Word of God in there. But they preached to each other week in and week out from the Word of God that they had hid in their hearts. That's where we need to be. We must be diligent, faithful, and consistent in our study of God's Word. Listen, if you're going to be physically fit, you're going to have to be consistent. I mean, we've all done it, right? Fad diets and fad workouts and the latest, greatest machine you can buy. And you see all the transformations that people have, right? Nobody else is duped by that stuff. I fall for it every time. I can't believe that. Look at that. Look at the way they were before and the way they are now. And it was just from taking a pill. It's unbelievable. Right? It is unbelievable, isn't it? Everybody's done it. You start out really well and you go good for a while and then you fall off. You start out with the New Year's resolution and by January 14th, it's done. Listen, we're all guilty, but this is so important. This is vital. This is the most important thing that we can do. It's so much more important. Our physical health matters. Amen. Our bodies are the temple of the living God, and we ought to take care of them. But this is infinitely more important, that we would be spiritually fit. So we've got to be diligent. We've got to be faithful. We've got to be consistent. So just like we talked about with prayer, friend, let me encourage you. Make an appointment with God. Amen. If you haven't set an appointment with God for every day, you need to do it. Some of you live by your schedules. I would seriously commend you to pull out your phone right now. Some of you have everything laid out on your phone calendar, what you're going to do the rest of this day, the rest of this week, next week. You ought to put it on your calendar that I'm going to spend time with God at this time. Amen. It ought to be scheduled. It is infinitely more important than your next doctor's appointment or your next dentist appointment. Those appointments that you would never miss. Spending time with God every day is infinitely more important. Amen. Make an appointment to meet with God every day. And secondly, meditate on His Word throughout your day. Amen. When you read it, you keep reading until God gives you something. He puts something in your heart. He highlights something for you. And then you take that thing with you. You say, well, Brother Isaac, I just don't have time. If you're too busy to read your Bible, you're too busy. I don't know what else needs to go, but something can. And by the way, I'm not buying it anyway. Almost everybody in this room has a dishwasher, a washing machine. Like, you got time to read your Bible. Amen. Ain't nobody down at the creek scrubbing on the washboard. Amen? Amen. Are you? Okay. I mean, I know we're country here, but we have time. So how do we do it? You know, there's a lot of different methods that people have come up for studying the Bible. People talk a lot about the inductive Bible study method or the deductive Bible study method. Our friends from the Navigators have the ABC method. A lot of groups that are really focused on disciple making talk about the discovery Bible study method. And here's what I want to say about all that. You can find all the different methods that you want to, and it doesn't really matter. What matters is, are you studying the Bible? Amen. Amen. Now, I will say a note about the inductive Bible study method versus the deductive Bible study method. The deductive Bible study method starts with a general statement or theme, and it looks for passages that support or disprove it. For example, somebody might start with the statement, sin leads to death, and then find passages in Scripture that support that, okay? So you're starting with something, and you're going to the Bible to find the answers. That's a good thing to do. Don't you think? Amen. Don't you think that when you've got questions in life, that you should go to the Bible to find the answer? Amen. So that's a good thing. A lot of people are critical of that, but I think that's what you do. But generally speaking, I would say that in your daily walk with the Lord, it's not really that every day you're coming with a question, finding an answer. What you're coming is, God, I want to know you, speak to me. That's the inductive Bible study method. The inductive Bible study starts with a passage of Scripture and looks for what it's saying. There are three main steps to the inductive Bible study method. They are observation, interpretation, and application. So here's what it is. You don't just randomly flip through your Bible and find something, but you pray about it and you find a place to read and you read it as God has given. And as you read it, you do observation. You say, what is this saying? What does it say? And then you do interpretation. I see what it says, but what does it mean? Everybody still with me? Amen. By the way, there's a difference between what it says and what it means sometimes. We gotta observate what it says, and then we have to interpretate what it means. Okay? How do we do that? Well, we have to look at the context first. Amen. Context is the most important thing in your Bible study. You've got to think about who's talking, who they're talking to. You guys remember that in school, right? Who, what, when, where, and why? You guys remember that? Amen. You got to bring that to your Bible study. Who's talking? Who are they talking to? When were they talking? Why are they talking about this thing? What is it that they're talking about? And then you have to have the interpretation. What does it mean? And then, of course, application. Because, friend, God's word is alive. Amen. And it's speaking to you. Right. Yeah. We looked at some scriptures earlier. Psalms, we've looked at different passages over the past week in Isaiah and all kinds of places in the Bible. I got news for you. Isaiah wasn't originally written to people in Mulder, Oklahoma, Amen. 2024. It wasn't written to you. But the message is there and applies to you in some way. You get it? So we got to figure out how it applies to us today. How do I apply this truth in my life today? There are so many different things I could give you practically. But here's what I want to say. Different Bible study methods work for different people. I would just encourage you to do what works for you. Remember we talked about exercise? You guys remember what they say the very best, the most effective form of exercise there is today? You guys remember what it was? Walking. Walking. Do you know why it's the most effective? Because people will do it. Amen. It's the thing you're most likely to be consistent with. Okay? People aren't likely to stay consistent going to the gym or all the other things that people do. But walking is something that almost everyone can do. Okay? So what am I saying? Listen, I don't know what Bible study method you ought to use other than this. You ought to pray and ask God to speak to you. And you ought to read the Word. And get in the Word until it gets in you. Amen. And if you're somebody who journals and journaling helps you, then journal. And if you're somebody who needs a systematic plan, then you can find a systematic Bible study plan. Whatever works for you as long as you do it. Amen. I promise you this, friend. I know some of you study your Bible every day and you have for years. But there may be somebody in the room or watching online and you don't read your Bible every day. You read it occasionally. It will transform your life. It'll transform your family. And it will transform this church if we will all consistently walk with God in His Word. Let's stand together. Brother Ben's going to come, and we're going to end our service tonight with a song. So before we sing, would you pray with me? And then we're going to sing this song together as we end our service. Father in heaven, thank you for the blessing it is to come together. And God, I thank you for your word. I can't begin to imagine just how glorious it truly is. How deep and how wide and how high and how wonderful all the things that you've shown us in your word. And I pray that you would help each of us here, that we would have a heart to know you, that you would give us a thirsting and a longing for you, Lord, to be in your presence every day. That we would hear from you and that we would know you. Help us to be men and women and boys and girls who don't just read our Bible every day, but every day we seek your face through the Scriptures. And God, please be merciful to us. Help us that we would know you. And Lord, I pray anyone hearing this message tonight who's never been born again, I pray that they would hear and believe the scriptures. Christ is the only way of salvation. He died and rose again for our sins. And whoever believes and calls on his name will have eternal life. Please bless, please forgive and help, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.